Blog Talk Radio.
I tell you,
there's a lady in the man's bathroom. Look at that. There is a woman in the man's gun right here in Baltimore.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Pro Wrestling Flashback. I am Sinbad, and I am joined by, of course, Cotrere. This is the first Pro Wrestling Flashback of the new year. How do you feel about that, Cotrere?
Excellent.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome. How long have we been doing this show? How many episodes do you think we've done?
This is our 21st.
21st episode. Wow.
Yeah.
I think this is the longest I've stuck with a show, pretty sure. So that's pretty good. That's pretty good. I'd also like to thank Cotrere. Cotrere is one of the few people that called me on, well, a few people, I guess, but off of the board and, you know, stuff. He called me on New Year's and wished me a Happy New Year. So I really appreciate that, Cotrere. Thank you very much, man.
I only called you because I was drunk, or else I wouldn't have.
Oh, thank you. That makes me feel so much better. All right. All right. So we're at the fallout of the Clash of the Champions. And just if you missed that, I'll just go ahead and give like a really, really quick Clash recap, just, you know, so people know what happened. There was the main event. I'll just give match results real fast. Mongo beat Jeff Jarrett to win the U.S. title. Raven beat Stevie Richards. Alex Wright beat Ultimo Dragon to win the TV title. The new Cruiserweight champion, Chris Jericho, beat Eddie Guerrero. There was a, you know, six-man Cruiserweight match that no one cares about. And then Flair and Hennig beat Six and Conan. And Hall and Macho Man beat DDP and Lex Luger after DDP accidentally gave Lex Luger the diamond cutter. So that's where we're at. So the fallout from that is, all right, we start off, Mean Gene's in the ring, and he calls out J.J. Dillon. And actually, he called out Eric Bischoff, sorry. And Bischoff comes out and says that there's no way that there's going to be a match between Sting and Hulk Hogan at Starrcade or any show upcoming, because J.J. Dillon had promised before the end of the year that there's going to be a match between them. And Bischoff, you know, talks and talks and says that it's not going to happen. And then Sting comes out, and he's right behind Bischoff. And, of course, Bischoff, the classic heel, gets on his knees and tries begging off Sting. So then Sting puts a Hogan T-shirt over Bischoff's head and pushes him down. And then he takes the shirt off of him and stuffs it in Bischoff's mouth. And then he smiles, which is the first time he's showed a smile in WCW in a long time. And
the announcers put it over as this big, I don't know, breakthrough in Sting's personality or something like that.
Yeah. Yes, and Zbyszko delivers the classic line, "I guess Bischoff won't bite anyone now." So, thanks, Larry. Thanks for that one.
Zbyszko was so great on commentary, but he said some of the lamest stuff. You ever noticed?
Human game of chess.
The New World Odor.
The New World Odor. Oh, yeah. It's just, he was so cutting edge, you know. He really was. He's just so cutting edge. All right. Psychosis. Oh, no. First, Raven reads some poetry for some reason. I have no idea who thought that Raven reading poetry is going to get the guy over. It got booed in the building. It was horrible. Not good stuff. All right. Psychosis and La Parca beats Glacier and the Cat Ernest Miller, which is a big win. Because La Parca, the chairman of WCW, hit Glacier with a chair twice, and then he rolled Psychosis on top of him. That's a big win.
I think La Parca was getting a push because he beat Randy Savage, even though it was DDP.
Yes. He's such a stupid, this is a stupid idea. And this was, lot of laser pointers were around. Do you remember the around this time the popularity of laser pointers and how stupid
they
were? But everybody had one though, and it was. I remember I got one for Christmas one year. It was in my stocking, and I remember thinking like, "Wow, Mom, why would you get me this?" Like, I guess she just probably saw it like right there, you know, at the grocery store or whatever, just sitting there. Oh, this would be a nice stocking stuffer. The worst gift I think I ever received, and I don't appreciate it, Mom.
That was one of the coolest gifts I ever received because I had a cat, and he could play chase with the laser because I pointed on the ground, and it just like kept trying to. It would catch the laser, but it wouldn't catch anything. It was just it kept chasing after the damn thing. It was awesome.
That is. That's. I mean, I don't really like cats, but. That's cool.
You know, if you just want to see a cat go nutty trying to catch something that it can't catch, it's awesome.
Yeah, no. One of my buddies actually still does that to this day. He still has a laser pointer and does the same thing with the cat. All right, we had...
Maybe they wanted to... remember they were... Maybe they wanted to... I don't know. I thought those were a little bit better and have the people throwing garbage at you and stuff like that in the ring. I'd rather have a laser in my face, I guess.
I don't know if I would. All right. Also, Dragon comes out, and Silver King comes out, and they're going to have a little match. So, they have a match. Of course,
also, Dragon came out to take issue with the ending of the previous match because of the chair, and Silver King came out to defend his brethren and the luchadors, and it ended up in a match.
Yes. Well, what... the interesting thing about it is Silver King hasn't really been around that much, and he wasn't really able to show off his skills as a wrestler. But he worked a really great match in this, and Larry Zbyszko, who, as you just mentioned, was like a really good announcer, was talking about how Silver King's dad was Dr. Wagner, the famous luchador. And Zbyszko had wrestled Dr. Wagner in Guatemala, years and years ago. And right after Zbyszko left, the biggest earthquake in Guatemalan history hit and destroyed most of the country, including the same hotel that Zbyszko had been staying at. Which is a cool little Nitro fact that they threw out there. Which I don't know. I like that little stuff. I thought it was cool.
Yeah, if it's true, I don't know. Might have been bullshit.
Yeah, I'm sure it wasn't true, but, you know, it was still
the
cool.
The same hotel that Pat Patterson stayed at when he won the Intercontinental Championship.
Yeah. All right, Scott Hall, Randy Savage, and Elizabeth come out. They say the newest member of the NWO is DDP. And they're trying to introduce him, you know, and no one comes out. And they said that he must be camera shy. And then Savage said he voted no to DDP joining, but then again... The NWO needs a weak link. And, of course, the crowd chants Macho sucks. And then Hall warns Lex Luger that he does not have a friend there in Columbia, South Carolina tonight. All right. Right after that, Gene Oakland's out there, brings out DDP. And Oakland asks him if he did it on purpose. And DDP says it's ridiculous to even ask. And DDP just says that he didn't do it on purpose. And he says him and Luger have not talked yet, but that Luger is a stand-up guy and there's not going to be a problem. Oh, DDP.
And this boring storyline plays out for like 2 or 3 more weeks.
Yes, it's one of the worst.
Yeah.
Jeff Jarrett beats Benoit. This is a way to get the horseman over. When he rolled through
I said clean.
Yeah, he beat them clean because Benoit hit the superplex, and Jeff Jarrett just rolls through.
One of my favorite finishes of all time. The first time I ever saw it finish. Did you ever see the Wrestling Classic WWF tournament from 85?
Yes, I have that.
And the Dynamite Kid Randy Savage match.
Awesome act.
When he superplexed him off the top rope and Savage hit and then rolled on top of him and beat him, I thought that was one of the best finishes I've ever seen.
It was a hell of a match. It really was.
Yeah, that was a really good match.
They mixed very well together, I thought.
Yeah.
All right. We had Gene Okerlund comes out and says that there's the Nitro Party contest, you know, and if you win, not only do the Nitro Girls show up, but so does Mean Gene and Wildcat Willie. That'd be awesome. That would be so awesome if Mean Gene, the Nitro Girls, and Wildcat Willie showed up at my Nitro Party. But
yeah,
you'd have to
buy a lot of alcohol.
Yeah. Oh, I would love to do shots with him. That'd be awesome. The thing is, like, do you think Wildcat Willie, like, you know, kept kayfabe, you know? Do you think he, like, always wore his outfit? Can you imagine him, like, just, like you know, exiting the car to go into your house, and he's all pissed off because he has to wear that stupid outfit the whole time?
I was just wondering if he knew what to do, not having to hold up, like, the yay or boo sign, like, at the worldwide tapings.
Yeah, he just stands there and doing shots under his mask. The Faces of Fear. Ming and the Barbarian beat Wrath and Mortis. So both sides of that feud are getting
the whole Mortal Kombat video game is getting destroyed.
They're all getting destroyed. Yeah. Ming beats Mortis with a Tong of Death grip. And this was a rematch from their epic encounter on WCW Saturday Night. And
was a pretty over finisher at the time, if I remember.
Oh, it was awesome. The crowd would go crazy when he hit it.
Yeah.
And the best part, Ming no-sells, like, a bunch of, like, shots from Mortis. And Mean Gene comes out, talks about the Gamecocks, so he can get a pop from the crowd because they were booing him all night. And he introduces the Four Horsemen, including Arn Anderson. But this is supposed to be a surprise, of course. And Mean Gene fucks it up. And he doesn't even come out. Just the other Three Horsemen. And then Hennig comes out. And Arn Anderson, you know, comes out to talk to Hennig. And we have some audio, right?
Yeah, we have some audio. Hold on just one second.
Kurt, we've waited for 2 months. And tonight, right here on Nitro, man, we want an answer, please. Rick, I would love to give you and the other horsemen an answer, but I'm not ready to give you that answer tonight.
This is unbelievable.
Kurt, you're a special kind of athlete, a special kind of man, and that gets special consideration. So anticipating your answer, I invited someone down here tonight that wants to have a word with you, my best friend, the Enforcer's in town.
Come on.
Oh, yeah. He's back.
Oh, man. A pleasure to hold the microphone, Mr. Anderson, up for you on this occasion.
Well, Gene, all I can tell you, to get a response like this means what I got to say tonight means that much more. You see, I'm a realist. And everybody knows I've got average size and speed and average ability, but I've parlayed that into what I would call a very successful career. And I did that on sheer will alone. But another reality is, 4 months ago, they took 4 vertebrae out of my neck. Consequently, I'm left with a hand, my left hand, too weak to hold a glass, too weak to button a button. But I thought in my mind, I knew in my mind I could overcome that too, through sheer will. And I was doing just like that. I think I've come back a long way. But the other day I had something happen in the gym that was like a cold slap in the face of reality. A guy about your size, Gene, came up and he slapped me on the back and he said, "Double A, where you been? We hadn't seen you on TV." And just that slap sent a jolt through me. And I dropped the water I was drinking. And just for a second, my system shut down, and it became crystal clear as I watched the few little drops of water draining out of that bottle, the symbolism that was involved. It was like someone had turned an hourglass over and the sand was running out on the career of Arn Anderson. Now, the fact of the matter is, not only do I put myself in a suicide situation by trying to wrestle again, I endanger these two men's careers, and I respect them too much for that. And other than be anything than the enforcer, in my best friend's eyes, I'd rather walk away. And for all you people out there that have ever bought a ticket to see Arn Anderson wrestle, whether you love me or you hated me, you knew that when that bell rang, you got all I had that night. Whether I won, whether I lost, I gave you everything I had. And you knew that. And when you did this to me, that was your acknowledgement. Well, the fact is, I got nothing left to give. And I want you to remember me as I was, not as I am. But being the man that I am, my last act, formerly as a horseman, I got one last challenge. And that's to you, Curt Hennig. Now, don't misunderstand me. It's not for a fight. You got something special. I've seen you in this ring. Your skills, your maturity, your commitment to excellence makes you something special. And what my challenge is to you, Curt, is stand beside my best friend, Ric Flair, and lead these two men back to the glory and the prominence that the Four Horsemen once had. And I'm going to tell you what your prize is. It's not a spot with the horsemen, because this is worth a lot more than that to me. I'm going to give you the only thing I got left. Not a spot, not a spot. I'll give you my spot.
Curt Hennig. You know, I know every wrestler that's ever been around or involved in this business we call wrestling who would pass up the honor to not only be a horseman, but to come out and take Arn Anderson's spot as the enforcer of the Four Horsemen. I have only one thing to say. It would be a privilege.
Hey, what about that? I think we made folks finally. Tony, Bobby, history in the making. New member of the Four Horsemen officially tonight, Curt Hennig, joining Steve Mongo, McMichael, Chris Benoit, and the Nature Boy, Ric Flair. What a glorious day it is here in Columbia.
You have seen one of the most emotional moments in the history of this great television program, in the history of this great sport.
Wow.
That was awesome.
That was so awesome. It was cool because watching this, I watched this live, of course. And, you know, seeing Ric Flair, you know, who is a great wrestler that we all look up to, and he's in the background, you know, tearing up and seeing his best friend retire. And it was very real. It was a very real thing that we were watching. And,
yeah.
Like, knowing what's going to happen, you know, to all of this. And Arn Anderson, in my opinion, is by far the top five promo guys of all time. And
yeah,
the people that disagree with me.
I just began to say the same thing. He's a, right. I mean, I put, like, as far as promos go, I put Flair, Rock, Austin. Jerry Lawler and Arn Anderson is my top five of all time.
Yeah, I mean they're great. They're absolutely great. I'm personally a big Macho Man's promo fan as well. Just because he's a psycho. And Jake Roberts as well. But yeah, Arn Anderson was just so great. I mean, like I could not even imagine delivering something like that without, like, note cards of some sort. I mean, like, it just flowed, and it was just, I don't know, it was a touching moment. It was awesome that I was really excited that Hennig was now in the Horsemen, and it was just a great. The highlight, by far the highlight of this month and possibly the year is this, and it was just awesome.
The thing about it is, I don't know. I knew Hennig was turning as soon as he accepted. You know, I just knew. I said, they've been dragging this out for so long. Something's going to happen. I said, he's not going to be here for long, and turned out he wasn't.
Well, yeah, you kind of knew it. You kind of knew it.
Yeah.
You know, WCW, it seemed like swerves were not doing a swerve.
Yeah.
Yeah. So right after that, Mongo is defending his U.S. heavyweight title against Eddie Guerrero. And Eddie does a backflip off the top rope. And Mongo just catches him and tombstones him. Awesome.
Must have been an accident.
Yeah. I don't know. it was awesome. Rey Mysterio comes out, talks about Hootie and the Blowfish because they were big in this area at the time. I don't even think they were famous at the time, were they? I thought Hootie was famous.
Yeah, I was in college at the time, and they were kind of just, you know, really getting really popular.
Oh, they were. Okay. All right. Well, he says he's trying to avoid surgery, and he was trying to. He doesn't have a choice. He's going to have it tomorrow. Conan comes out, and he's talking, and Gene tries to, you know, get control of the interview, and Conan says next time Oakland interrupts him, Conan's going to knock out so many teeth, it will put Oakland's dentist in the next tax bracket. All right, Conan. All right, K-Dog. And
Larry Zbysko must have told him that one.
Yeah. Also this one, he tells Ray to go get a Happy Meal and go home. And Conan starts slapping him around. And then the Giant comes out. And then the Giant and Rey Mysterio have a little hug. It was cute. All right. Bischoff comes to the booth. And he takes Bobby Heenan's spot. All the crowd starts chanting faggot at Eric Bischoff. Chris Jericho defends his cruiserweight title against future star Yuji Nagata. And Bischoff.
Yeah, it was weird because he was, I think he was just getting started in New Japan at this time. He became one of the biggest stars they had, I believe.
Yeah, and, you know, he's just a jobber.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bischoff, during the match commentary, says that the NWO get challenged for any title at any time. Of course they don't.
They never did.
They didn't. Mean Gene interviews Harlem Heat with Jacqueline. And the Steiner brothers with Ted DiBiase come out. What a freaking... The Steiners got downgraded so much after the feud. Yeah, I mean, it killed them. It killed them off.
Yeah,
you know,
and they were... Well, they were, remember, they were supposed to win the titles at the pay-per-view for that. And...
Yeah.
Owen Nash said, well, the titles have been changing hands too many times, and so we don't think we should drop the titles.
Stupid.
You know, they had held the titles for about almost a year at this time, so I don't know.
Well, the Steiners
didn't want to lose the titles, I guess.
Yeah. That's pretty much it. Well,
I always
Steiners
thought that was so stupid. What? I don't know, maybe you have to be a worker to fully, you know, maybe understand or get the picture, but I don't understand people don't want to lose people. It's so stupid.
It is stupid.
When you're your stars of that caliber, man, like when you're Scott Hall or Kevin Nash or even a Hulk Hogan, it don't hurt you to lose. Shit.
Yeah, it really doesn't. It really does not. I mean, there's guys that completely get buried and they, like, guys that are already on top, it doesn't hurt them to lose. Like, guys like Hall and Nash, it does not hurt. Like, if you're being built up, it hurts to lose. Like say Kofi Kingston is wrestling a match and he loses to Chris Masters or something like that. That hurts him because he's not a star yet. But if Edge loses to, you know, Chris Masters or something, it doesn't hurt Edge because Edge is already a star no matter what, and he could sell it and then get his victory back or something, or even not get it back. And it's still okay because it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. You know,
yeah, something about – I always laugh when they say, well, you know, guy got to get his victories back. I don't think people have the mindset or the attention span where they really care nowadays, you know?
Yeah, no one cares.
I mean, it's so stupid.
The only people,
like the parody
the
book and like
care.
You see all the time on TV where the guy wins, but the other guy has to come back and win the next week. So, you know, so be on the same level and stuff like that. It's so stupid.
It's extremely stupid. Because there's so many people that, you know, could be getting over, but just they don't. They stick it, like TNA is the worst for it. You know what, actually, not just TNA. WWE is the same way. They do the same thing where there's these two people feuding in the mid-card, and they'll trade wins back and forth, and it does not help them at all. Just like Kofi with Randy Orton, you know? If Kofi would have beaten and won that feud with Randy Orton, it would not have mattered. It really would not have mattered. And it would have. Look at, just to give a little example. John Morrison, I think, is more over now than he has been in a long time because he even though he lost the world title match, I still think it was fine because he beat Sheamus a couple of times and he advanced pretty far in the King of the Ring. I think it helped him just by winning a couple of matches. That's all they need to do. All right, to get back to what we were talking about, Harlem Heat, Jacqueline are out there, Steiner Brothers and DiBiase come out, and they start trading insults. Then Vicious and Delicious come out to also trade insults with both of them. Then they all attack each other, and Vincent tries to go after Jacqueline, and she beats the shit out of him. Awesome.
And I wanted to go back to what we were saying just a second ago. And then you got a guy that, like, say, a Tommy Dreamer who wants to lose all the time. So now when anybody beats him, it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
You're beating a nobody.
I know.
So
it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Like, that's why you should want to build someone up. Before you,
I mean,
beat
you don't
them.
Have to lose all the time like some people do. I mean, the guy, look at The Rock. He lost a lot. Nobody cared.
No one gave a shit at all. And Austin totally cared about losing.
Yeah.
And that kind of shit just like made me really like look down at people like that because Austin was such a star. It wouldn't have mattered if he lost every match. It really wouldn't have mattered because he'd still be over. I mean, like there's. Once you get over, it doesn't matter if you keep losing or not. You know, it really does not matter. If you are someone like, how is it, like someone like Edge or Randy Orton, those guys losing John Cena, if John Cena lost every single match, he could still go in a world title match and people would still assume he's going to win.
I
don't know. All right, enough with that. All right, let's go to Dean Malenko beats Alex Wright via DQ because Jeff Jarrett and Eddie Guerrero interfere. And Alex Wright, of course, retains the TV title. And this is when Regal's not around now because I think this is the start of his drug issues or injuries or something.
This was around the time something happened on a plane with him going from Japan, and he urinated somewhere on the plane, and it was not at the urinal, and they had to make an unscheduled stop.
So stupid. So stupid.
And you know when you've got to make the plane make a stop, you know, like if you're on a plane trip from Japan, you know, something bad happened. If they did it today, he'd be on the terrorist watch list. So.
All right, so the main event, is Lex Luger versus Macho Man. And, of course, NWO run-in. DDP comes out. And it ends up being Luger racking DDP. That's the end of it.
I think DDP helps him up, and he thinks it's like Scott Hall or Savage. And so when he's helping him up, he's like right in that torture rack position, so he just scoops him up and puts it on him.
So. Yeah. And well, Scott Hall comes with an apron at first, and this Bischoff says that it's to render medical attention because, according to Bischoff, Scott Hall went to medical school. Just such an awesome heel comment to explain what's going on. I love it. Love stuff like that. Love it. Just for the record, you know how we get pretty detailed on these nights, Nice Couture?
Yeah.
We just spent a half hour on one. So, I mean, the whole actual show was only an hour and a half longer than this. All right. Go to that next Nitro. All right. We are at Nitro. I believe it's the beginning of... Is it the beginning of September? Is it the first day? Yeah, it is.
Yeah, September the 1st.
September the 1st.
Another 3-hour show.
Yes, this is the beginning of the third season. The third season of Monday Nitro.
And I always love when they say it's the season premiere of a wrestling show.
Yes.
The show never ends. There's never a finale.
No, there,
unless
well,
you're
actually,
Nitro.
There is eventually. Yeah. So I guess that's fine.
We'll get to the Nitro finale in a couple of years.
Yeah. We're never gonna get to that, man. I mean, seriously, we're going to, it's taking us so long. Once we had Thunder, it's going to take us, I mean, we'll probably, 1998 will probably be 20 parts, if not more.
I wouldn't wait till Russo shows up. How long is it going to take us to explain all that shit?
Yeah, I know. we'll get it done. We'll get it done because we have fun doing this shit, Contreras.
And actually, all this right. show was the Arn Anderson tribute show. Because they were doing, they had a little video package to start off, and they were doing, like, cut-ins, like when they go to commercial and stuff with, like, some of the superstars of WCW, you know, like, giving their thoughts and stuff like that, which is pretty cool, except for other shit that happened in this show, which we're going to get to here in a minute.
One thing I kind of want to talk about before we go into the show is, what did you think about the video games?
The video game, I can't remember which one I had. It was for
There's
Nintendo 64.
The
it might have been WCW, NWO versus the World or something.
Yes. There was let's talk about these video games while we have the chance. All right, they had these WCW games. It started off with WCW versus the World. That was for PlayStation, I believe. And
yeah, that's what that was.
That was for the original PlayStation. And then... they had, other ones, but the best game by far that they had was, I'm not sure if it came out in 97 or 98, or maybe even 99. It was called WCW Revenge for N64.
I had it.
That game was so awesome. It was, because I would play with my buddy Jerry, like we'd always play that game, and one of us would be black and white, and one of us would be red and black, and we'd, like, have matches to try getting members, and we're able to pick members to switch sides or whatever. So it must have been 98. So eventually, he was much better than I was at the game. So he had almost everybody on black and white, and all I had left was, like, La Parca and Canyon, I think, or Mortis. And that's all I had. That was it. He had every other person on the roster, and I was trying to win the game with La Parca and Mortis, and it was just an awesome game. I remember one of the games they had I laughed at was Backstage Assault.
Oh, yeah.
Where it was just backstage, which where all the fights took place. I thought that was kind of silly.
Oh, actually, Sky Kid, in the chat just mentioned that it was WCW versus NWO World Tour. That was the first N64 game, and then after that was the WCW Revenge, which that was
the
game that I
ever involved in wrestling. I ever tried to play was, I think I had rented that. You remember the WWF game where you was trying to hit each other in monster trucks?
It was just like that. It was just like another PlayStation game. Like, I forgot what it was called, though. Gosh.
There was one that was something like Star Wars, where it was the same kind of concept, where you're trying to, like, destroy each other with, like, vehicles and stuff. I can't remember what the names of the games were, but I remember that was, like, the stupidest game involving wrestling I've ever seen, video game.
Yeah. I really don't remember that much.
I think it was WWF Smash 'Em Up or something like that. I can't remember.
Yeah, no, I'm not sure. WWE Crush Hour.
That's it.
Crush Hour.
The game is horrible. It wasn't even fun as a monster truck game.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. All right, yeah, we better start with this Nitro. We're never going to get that. All right. The program is dedicated to AA, of course, Arn Anderson. And it starts off, Jeff Jarrett, Eddie Guerrero lose to Mongo and Benoit because
Dean Malenko interferes.
As Dean Malenko, who interfered to get a little bit of revenge on Jeff Jarrett and Eddie Guerrero. I forgot about that, yeah. And Flair and Headache come out and then fits away afterwards to show a little bit of horseman unity. And Lex Luger does a little segment about Arn Anderson and says, AA, what can I say? We've been the best of friends, the worst of enemies, a happy retirement. We're going to miss you, bud. Oh, okay, Lex. All right.
See, this is when they, you know, they can mix the shoot stuff in and I don't care.
No, I know. It's fun.
It just sounds so goofy sometimes.
Yeah, it is. It's just stupid stuff.
Yeah.
All right, there is a match between, they announced that it's going to be Scott Hall and Randy Savage versus DDP and Lex Luger in the main event again, which they seem to do this. All right, Mortis beats Silver King, which Silver King is impressive 1 week, and then, of course, they have to make him lose again to a jobber, so that's awesome.
To the video game guys that got beat the week before. So.
Yes. And afterwards, Mortis and Wrath call out the Faces of the Fear. They come out, brawl. All right. They show a clip of Arn Anderson DDTing Dustin Rhodes and turning on him. So that was a little shot at Gold Dust, I believe.
Yeah.
And Air comes out and says that Hogan put Roddy Piper out of wrestling. And, of course, we all know that coming up at Halloween Havoc is going to be Piper and Hogan. So they
just said this, like, so randomly.
It was.
Nobody ever said that he was. Last I heard, Piper wasn't even going to get a cage match with Hogan because he didn't win it uncensored.
Yeah.
Could you remember that was one of the stipulations?
No, it is. It's. I have no idea, like, what WCW was even thinking half the time.
Yeah. I can't believe I liked some of this stuff back then. I did, though.
All right. We have Yuji Nagata beats Dean Malenko because, of course, Jeff Jarrett, and it's only Jeff Jarrett that comes out and ends up. He does the thing where he grabs the back of his neck and, you know, clotheslines him over, and I don't know, usually gotta get the big win. DDP, talk about Arn Anderson. Double A.
This is a 3.5 hour show. I'm sorry.
Yes. Double
Jesus
A. When I think of you, the first words that come to my mind is respect. Because that's what you got in that ring. You gave it all. Ugh. Ultimo Dragon beats La Parca by dropkicking La Parca's own chair into his face for the win. Double A. Back from Starrcade 85. I'm the pain doctor, and I'll tell you something. You listen up, because all I have to say is I'm Double A, baby. What's the rest of that?
Just like AMCO transmissions, I'm going to give you a lifetime guarantee on injury.
Oh, God. All right. Buff Bagwell beats Glacier with a blockbuster. And they announced the first three members of Team WCW for War Games: Lex Luger, DDP, and Ric Flair. That's going to change, everybody. Larry Zbysko during this match says this classic line: "Is it my imagination, or is Bagwell's head getting smaller?"
Okay. Well, we go in reverse in later years, so his head will get bigger.
Larry Zbysko talks about Arn Anderson. Says, "Well, every dog has his day. Arn, unfortunately, yours came too soon. Almost a legendary career, but you are wrestling history. Almost a legendary career."
He had
I
would put his Arn's career over Larry's career any day of the week.
Yes, of course. All right. Liz Mark Jr. wrestles one of the Vianos. They do a switch. He still wins. I don't know. There's that Arn Anderson and Bobby Eaton when they have that little thing where they're gonna fight each other, and Arn's talking.
Oh, after he got his knee hurt by Eric Watts,
yeah,
he didn't come visit him in the hospital.
He said, "Don't you worry, Bobby. I'm not gonna hit you." And Bobby starts to leave the ring, and then Arn nails him, throws the ropes, and the spine buster. Awesome.
Disco Inferno and Miss Luger calls DDP out, but no DDP. So they're scheduled to team, but DDP doesn't want to talk to him, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right. The Nitro Girls are out there. Disco Inferno comes out and dances.
Is this his return?
Alex Wright comes out and dances, too. Larry Zbysko, classic line. Are these the Nitro boys? Oh, gosh. Tony Schiavone says, "Just beat each other into oblivion, and we won't have to worry about either of them." Oh, mm-hmm. Tony. Alex Wright beats Hugh Morris. Cheats to win, of course.
I'd love how he cheats to win, but he beats, like, Chris Jericho and Ultimo Dragon for titles clean as a sheet.
Yes.
And he has a sheet to beat Hugh Morris.
Yeah. Well, Hugh Morris, you know. All right. They have, what is it, Stevie Richards beats Damian. Who cares? It's because Raven DDTs Damien outside, rolls him in. Stevie Richards tries giving Damien CPR, and then he just pins him. And Bobby Heenan, what a great match! Dean Malenko talk about Arn Anderson. When I look back at some of the great competitors that have graced this sport, I can think of Arn Anderson at the top of this list. Arn, it's been a real privilege, and I wish you the best in the future.
Dean Malenko kind of reminded me of Arn Anderson kind of a way. You know, just kind of like a low-level guy, but, you know, just like tremendous in the ring and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's... I don't know. Dean Malenko, I didn't think was nearly as good. I mean, did you?
I mean,
really?
technically, I mean, like, in the ring with everything he could do, I thought he was like, better in that way. But Arn was better in other ways and just, like, he was just, like, in mannerisms and stuff like that and the way he came across in the ring.
Yeah, maybe.
But just, like, the kind of the level that they were at, you know, just kind of, like, mid-card guys.
I mean, I liked them. I thought Arn Anderson was more higher level than Dean Malenko was when it comes to high-profile
what
matches.
What he had done.
And he had more high-profile feuds, you know. But was Arn Anderson ever number one in the PWI 500? I don't think so. Dean Malenko was, though. Mean Gene's out. It's Big Bubba. Bubba says, since I came to WCW, I've used many different names, many different outfits. And he said, my name is Ray Traylor. This NWO forever is a bunch of crap. I didn't receive one letter, one card. All I got was one letter. Actually, he did receive one letter, apparently. Because he says, all I received was one letter from Eric Bischoff saying my services were no longer needed. So then,
I wonder if it was FedExed.
Yeah, apparently. The first one was empty, though. Ray Traylor beats Prince Iakea. Squashes him. And his new move is called Into the Boss Man Slam. It's called the Trailer Slam. J.J. Dillon, who Eric Bischoff likes to call the Big Tub of Goo. Arn Anderson is one of the original Four Horsemen. And he was on top of his game during the glory years. And now Arn is and always will be an icon among the horsemen. All right.
Yeah, when you
Here
think
we
of,
go.
I mean, I think when you think of the horsemen, you think of Arn's like the first person that comes to my mind.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
I mean, Ric Flair, you know, Ric Flair was like the top guy, but Arn Anderson, he was one of those, he was always there. And if it's not Arn Anderson in there, if it's not Arn Anderson or Ric Flair in there, you don't have the horsemen in there. So.
Arn Anderson actually always came out to the horseman music too, and Flair would come out to his music, you know.
Yeah.
I'm gonna let you go ahead and describe this next part.
Okay, Gene Oakland's supposed to interview the Four Horsemen. And then Six comes out in a wig and is Ric Flair doing the Mean Gene, you know, that Ric Flair would usually do. Conan comes out in a bear's coat and sunglasses. He's supposed to be Mongo. They call Kurt Hennig out. Bagwell comes out, and he's got, like, a hat on with a little ponytail. And Six has him out here screaming at the top of my lungs, and I don't even know why. Flair would always do when he'd come out there. He says, this is Six now. I'd like to introduce you to my best friend, the Enforcer of the Four Horsemen, Arn Anderson. Nash comes out, and he's got, like, a pillow under his shirt. He's got a neck brace. He's got glasses on. He's got one of those wigs to make you look like you're bald with all these spots on his head. And he's got, like, a cooler. And Arn said, the beer's on ice. And he then mocks Arn's speech and said, my left hand, the significance of that, that's the hand I opened my beer with. And Six is crying like Flair. And And they just keep on going on, and they do the classic, they're just doing a parody of the Horseman thing from the week before. And he says, I was an average worker. I had average talent. I had average height, average weight, average carpentry skills. And just making a mockery of it. And said, I'm not here to give you not just a spot, Kurt Hennig, not dog spot, liver spot, but I'm going to give you my spot. And they just make a mockery of it. They take their jackets off, and they got their shirts on, and on the back say the four jackasses. And,
No. Did it say the four jackasses?
Yeah, I think it said the four jackasses.
Yeah, it was four horses' asses. It was like I remember because I wanted that shirt. It was like four asses, like horse asses. It was pretty funny. But I don't know.
And the backstage stuff about this was the whole thing was the horsemen were supposed to hit the ring when this happened. And just and take them out. I think this was supposed to happen like maybe at the end of the show. They were supposed to hit the ring and take the NWO guys out, these guys out, and then and they were going to be left standing tall. And then Arn Anderson would come out like on the in the entrance ramp and just like kind of applaud as the show ended. But they said another horseman wasn't going to get a comeback on the show. Instead, they were coming out later to do an interview, and so. Ric Flair, and one of the few times he kind of stood up for himself and stuff like that, he said, well, no, that makes us look like a bunch of fucking idiots. So they all left the building. So they ain't going to do that. They're not going to go out there and just do a promo and, just make a mockery. And it was a mockery of what happened the week before. It's kind of, I don't know, I thought it was funny, but it was a shitty thing to do. And I think it came out later that actually the idea was Terry Taylor's idea. And because I don't know, Arn got a lot of heat at home because he had drinking problems, and I think his mother or his grandmother died of alcoholism or something like that, so it kind of hit home. And I think his kids had to go through a bunch of shit at school after seeing stuff like that about their dad, and so that's kind of where the bad feelings came about that.
Maybe, I don't know. It was
funny, but it was mean spirited in a way. I could see why people were upset about it.
It wasn't mean spirited in a way. It was just mean spirited.
Yeah.
Period. I mean, it was. All right. Chris Jericho.
I mean, we have a guy really retire. I mean, he couldn't wrestle anymore. He's just like he couldn't hardly use his left arm. So I don't know.
It was kind of mocking
what was really happening the week before.
It was. It was very mean. I didn't like it at all. But I mean, at the same time, it was funny. All right, Chris Jericho versus Chavo, no contest. Everybody seems to come out. Scotty Riggs, Prince Iaukea, Damian, Billy Kidman, Ciclope. Everybody's fighting everybody, and. Why did this happen?
I don't know. I think it was just so that they could have Eddie, he nailed Jericho with the belt at the end of it and the frog splash just to keep that feud going.
I guess so. The giant upon our name.
I don't know. Maybe they, maybe everybody was mistakenly in their gear in the back and they said, well, okay, we got stuff for y'all to do.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. The giant. Arn Anderson, future Hall of Famer from the Giant, future World Heavyweight Champion. Congratulations on your retirement. You deserved it and earned it. All right, Bischoff and Hogan come out. This is the shittiest part of the show. Hogan, who is Sting beating? Nobody. I want Sting. Come on down. The title's on the line, you jabron. And then Tony Schiavone. If Sting comes down now, both of them are going to need a new pair of drawers. Tony Schiavone, man. Like, just these lines, you know. And, you know, J.J. Dillon comes out and says, you know, hey, what's your answer to giving Sting a shot? And he goes, here's my answer. He nails J.J. Dillon. And then,
yeah, I remember he dropped the leg on him a bunch of times, and I think that was it.
Well, they spray painted him.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Main event. Savage and Kevin Nash versus DDP and Luger. They DDP and Luger come out separately. Oh, it's not Kevin Nash. It's Scott Hall, sorry. DDP beats up on Hall, then he beats up on Savage. He doesn't try tagging Luger. And then finally, he makes a tag to Luger. Three atomic drops on Hall. Then there's a fourth. There's a fifth. And then Luger racks Savage. But Scott Hall covers DDP for the pin. And this crappy feud continues.
Well, no, he nailed DDP with the flying forearm by mistake when Hall dug out of the way.
And the funny thing is, no one has ever been pinned from that since, like, 1993 when he was in WWF. So
yeah, when
DDP
Bobby Heenan kept saying he had a wrench in his arm or something.
Yes. So, I mean, but seriously, like, DDP looked like a freaking loser because of this.
Yeah.
Just awful. Just awful crap.
Anybody could care if DDP... I couldn't care less if DDP and Luger are going to work a program together.
Yeah.
No, he's just... Who cares?
Okay. Let's start. I don't even know where to start.
September the 8th.
I know we're at September the 8th. All right. It starts off with, is it the Rey Mysterio? I'm very lost right now, sir.
I think it starts with Bischoff coming out. They say they're never going to show the NWO parody again. Bischoff comes out and says he has way more stroke and orders it played again. About a minute into it, it gets cut off. The Horsemen are in the broadcast booth. They cut back to the Horsemen. Hennings make a jerk me off action with his hand.
Oh, I'm still not finding that, man. But all right. Go ahead and keep talking. Are you there? All right, I think we might have lost Couture. So they had a where am I at? I'm sorry, everybody. I am okay. Rey Mysterio Jr. beats Eddie Guerrero with Hurricane Carana, and they announced that J.J. Dillon is out due to that attack. And WCW is in the market for a new interim commissioner.
I'm back, Sam Bad. Sorry about that.
It's okay, man.
Ray Jr. pinned Eddie Guerrero?
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Start wherever you are.
All right. And then DDP is interviewed by Mean Gene. He says that him and Luger might need to settle in the ring. And Luger comes out and says that he'll accept the challenge as long as they don't hold back. All right. Hugh Morris destroys Disco Inferno. So Disco gets buried again. Nash, Six, Bagwell, and Conan come out. They accept the Horseman's challenge. Bagwell, when he came out, though, was carrying a coffee cup for some reason. And they mock the Horsemen, of course, some more. Chris Jericho beats Brad Armstrong, who hasn't been seen in what? Forever?
Yeah.
What was that? Brad Armstrong was on TV.
God, I don't know. It was probably on one of those Nitros where they were just throwing random dudes out there. It was probably several weeks back.
Yeah, it had been a while. Hogan and Bischoff come out. Hogan says they're called Sting out again. A fake Sting comes down. And it's just a mannequin, of course. And Hogan beats up the mannequin, gives it two leg drops of doom, and Hogan pins a mannequin.
Ugh. I can remember this. This is one of those segments. I can remember going to sleep during this segment.
Yeah? I'm not shocked by that at all. I'm not even a little bit shocked. Just horrible. All right. Face the Fear, Steiner Brothers, no contest because there's interference with Harlem Heat and Rath and Mortis. So there's an 8-way brawl. Lots of tag teams. during this, Bobby Heenan says that there's a double agent in WCW, and they're feeding information to the NWO, he thinks. Scott Hall defeats Super Kolo.
What a random match this is.
It's so random. Ray Traylor comes out, destroys Scott Hall. Vince tries making the save, gets thrown over. And Hogan comes out to distract Ray Traylor and gave an outsider's edge and then got spray painted. So that's a way to build a new baby face, you know. Dean Malenko beats Psychosis, makes him give up to the Texas Cloverleaf. And Gene Okerlund, apparently they made this hire pretty quick for the new acting chairman of the WCW Executive Committee. And that person is Roddy Piper. Wow. And Piper showing how modern he is with his references, says this is like putting Belushi in charge of the frat house. Oh, gosh. I'm sure Piper probably watched that movie the night before while he was doing a bunch of blow.
Yeah. He said he's in charge of WWF.
Yes. And he laughs about it. And he said he's going to get Sting and Hogan together for the title before the end of the year. And then Piper announces that he himself is wrestling Hogan in a steel cage match at Halloween Havoc.
And he puts himself in another non-title match.
Yes, of course, he's an idiot. And he said he's going to make Mike Tyson look like a vegetarian. And why this makes any sense. And Hulk Hogan look like he has E. coli, which... I believe he was referring to the Ebola virus.
He doesn't give himself a title shot, but he's in charge and can give himself a title shot.
Yes.
This shit don't make no sense.
And the last thing Piper does is he's taking Luger and DDP out of War Games because their heads aren't on straight. He's putting the Horsemen into War Games. Oh, gosh.
Well, something makes sense then.
Yes. Ric Flair and Kurt Hennig beat Buff Bagwell and Conan when Hennig beat Conan with a fisherman suplex. And they beat the shit out of them. And DDP and Lex Luger go to a no contest because the NWO interfered. Why they would want to interfere while they're beating the shit out of each other makes no sense. And the Giant comes out, makes a save, giving Vincent, of all people, a chokeslam. And someone throws in a cheese head because they're in Milwaukee. And Scott Hall wears that cheese head back to the locker room. And then Macho Man puts one on, too. And DDP...
Luger, they shake hands. Yeah.
They shook hands. All right, let's get to that pay-per-view, Couture.
Okay.
Let's get to that pay-per-view.
War Games, September the 14th, 1997. This is a good show. Still your typical show with really good stuff on the bottom. On the undercard with, like the cruiserweight and stuff like that. So.
Now, go ahead and walk us through it.
Okay. In the first match, Eddie Guerrero pinned Chris Jericho with a frog splash after reversing an attempted superplex by Jericho to win the World Cruiserweight title. Great match. We go to the Steiner Brothers defeated Harlem Heat when Rick pinned Stevie Ray after a double team combination lariat and German suplex. I was bored of seeing these two teams fight by this time.
I wish they would have done that like a four quarters match or something, because the tag team scene was ridiculous right now. It really was.
FCW TV champion Alex Wright pinned Ultimo Dragon with a German suplex following a jawbreaker on the reversal of the Dragon Sleeper. So they're still
once
keeping
again,
up with
once again, he beats Ultimo Dragon clean, but he has to cheat to beat fucking fat ass Hugh Morris.
Then Oakland talking about the hotline. The NWO War Games team go running by. They run back in the other direction laughing. And Gene goes into the locker room and Kurt Hennig is laid out. Gene called for security. And, yes, I could see.
Yeah. I mean, people that couldn't see this, come on. Come on.
They did this exact angle a year before in WWF when he was supposed to wrestle Triple H. He, ran the cart into his leg in the back. And he came out and Triple H wrestled Mark Mero for the IC title. And Kurt Hennig turned on Mark Mero. Same thing happened, the year before, so. I already seen it.
All right. Jeff Jarrett
made Dean Malenko submit to the figure four leg lock and go on and meet Mongo for the U.S. title at Halloween Havoc, which would never happen.
No, it would not because, we'll find out that next night that we will be talking about soon. All right. Wrath and Mortis beat the Faces of Fear. This feud, yes, is still going. And they gave Ming the death penalty. After Ming had both Mortis and James Vandenberg in the Tongan death grip. All right. Afterwards, there's a little shake-up between these two. And they actually call Mark Curtis in this Shooter Mark Curtis because he beat up a fan that rushed the ring on the previous Nitro.
A fan rushed the ring and he kicked him in the head and held him in a front face lock until the cops. This was happening a lot back then. Did you ever notice that?
What was?
With fans hitting the ring.
It was like these crazy drunk fans trying to get some TV time.
I'd rather not get my TV time and had to spend the night in the drunk tank. Shit.
Yeah, that's true. With a match that had
the wrestlers it was when a fan hits the ring, you got carte blanche to just do what you want. It's like a open season. It's just you can just knock beat the shit out of these people if you want to.
They did. They did. All right, we had with a match just to get the Giant on TV, because they're doing nothing with this guy. Nothing. The Giant beats Scott Flash Norton with a choke slam. It was actually not a bad match. They actually gave Scott Norton a little bit of offense, which I thought was cool. Gosh, it was just crazy. DDP and Lex Luger beat Scott Hall and Macho Man. This feud just needed to die. this needed a dive. I mean, you know, what was the finish? Wasn't just
The finish was the ref got knocked out, and then Larry Zbyszko came out from the back and made the count on I think it was Luger pinning Scott. Luger rolls up Scott Hall from behind. Zbyszko does a quick one two three to kind of progress a little some more of the heat with him and Scott Hall. So eventually
yeah.
to like him and Bischoff and stuff later coming up at Starrcade and stuff. So
yeah. That feud was really, they were really good at building a feud back then.
Mean Gene talks on the hotline. He says they'll have the Fall Brawl results right after the broadcast. I'm watching the Fall Brawl show. Why don't I call the fucking hotline to get results of it?
I don't know. Maybe those people that are listening to it, because I used to listen to pay-per-view sometimes. Like, the picture was fuzzy, but you could hear what was going on.
I remember all they right. used to have, during, like, some of the Clash of the Champions, they would have, they said, you can call right now and you can hear Lance Russell and Gordon Foley calling the event and turn the sound down on your TV and watch it with them calling the action. Did you ever
yeah.
do that?
No, I did not. That's awesome, though.
Yeah.
So what did you, all right, go ahead and tell people the Fall Brawl main event and... just go ahead. Go ahead, Couture.
Okay, Michael Buffer comes out. Team NWO comes out, and the Four Horsemen come out without Kurt Hennig. I love this website. I could do without all the, like, comments that have nothing to do with any fucking thing. I'm trying to find what I'm talking about on here. Nobody cares. I'll continue. Bagwell and Benoit start off. Benoit was so awesome back then. You know, he was such a great worker. I wish he wouldn't have flipped out. He gets the early advantage and keeps it for a few minutes and goes for the headbutt, and Bagwell gets the advantage. And here's a surprise. The heels win the coin toss in the War Games. So,
no way!
Yeah. Then Conan comes in. And Conan Bagwell double team him, and then Mongo comes in, and 2 minutes of him going after Bagwell and Conan, and then Six makes his entrance. Mongo tosses Six into the ropes and picks Six up and slams him into the roof of the cage. The NWO gets a short advantage; it's still 3-on-2, and he comes to ringside with his right arm in a sling, and then the end of the period ends, and then Ric Flair goes in and makes it 3-on-3. WCW has the advantage. And then Nash comes in. He just beats everybody up and sticks the rubbing player's head against the cage in the last period. Henny comes in, and all of a sudden he's not hurt at all, and he's got handcuffs. And at first it looks kind of like the announcers think that, oh, he swerved everybody. He's with the, you know, the Horsemen are going to handcuff all these guys. But no, he starts beating up Benoit and Mongo and Flair. And Flair just, like, goes ballistic and just like, goes right after Henny. And they all, he just becomes a big beatdown. And Nash grabs the mic and asks Benoit if he wanted to surrender. And Benoit, one of his awesome things of all time, just spits right in his face. That's something Benoit would do, you know.
Yeah.
He just,
either that or murder you. Back.
Yeah, and Nash has Mongo, and Mongo screams no, and Flair can't respond, and Bagwell has Benoit, wants to quit, and Benoit spits in Bagwell's face. So Benoit knows how to play this game and not get buried, apparently. So
yeah, he does. No, I mean, it really was. He was good at keeping himself over, which is really important because, you know, if you don't do it yourself, no one's going to do it for you. So
because he was just such a, I mean, you can just watch him in the ring, he was just such a tough bastard. I mean, that's kind of stuff that kept him over with the fans, even though he wasn't, you know, that flashy or that, really that charismatic. He just had that toughness that people get into. So, and Bagwell gives Benoit one more chance, and Benoit says, bite me. And they pull Flair's head into the doorway, and Kenny gets ready to slam it on his head, and Nash tells Mongo to give up, or they'll guillotine Flair. Mongo says, you got to stop this, and at which point the match is called. Ever notice that when, like, the heels win in War Games, somebody else has to stop it for them? You know, like, it's when Hennig was in there with Sid, the Elegant, they called it off, and I think when, I don't know, I think Luger was knocked out in the one with the NWO in 96, and in this one, somebody else has to call it off instead of the babyface quitting himself, and I don't know. Anyway, and they call the match off, and anyway, Hennig slams Flair's door in the head, and
God, it looks like sick.
I think there was supposed to be like some sort of a stopper on that door, but maybe it came off right before. This was a hell of a visual. And I think what was happening is Flair was getting like plastic surgery. He was having his cataracts worked on or something like that. He was getting like plastic surgery. And that's why they were doing this, to kind of write him out for a while so he could get the surgery done. And, I mean, this was just fucking brutal. And,
It was sick looking, man.
And,
It was impressive, though. It was an impressive finish.
Right in the heart of Horseman Country, so they get buried in Horseman Country again.
Always. Always.
Always.
So,
but,
to kind of explain it, Kurt Hennig joins the Horsemen after being begged to join. Then he turns on them right away, of course. And, I mean, you had to have seen it coming, and most people did. I don't know. This was, for me, right when the NWO started getting stale, was this right here.
Yeah.
This was the kind of, like, that little thing that made me think, like, oh, this isn't as good as it was a couple of months ago. So,
yeah, this was,
I don't know.
Well, I could see it coming, because at this point, I've been watching for a long time, so I was kind of wise to how stuff works and how you can tell shit's coming, you know? So, I could just see what was gonna happen, but yeah, and then never got a comeback, so I don't know what the point.
Yes, I don't know. All right. We will be back in 2 weeks, because a week from tonight I will not be able to do the show because it is my birthday and I will not be available. So in 2 weeks we will be back. Actually, possibly Couture and I will work out another day during the week next week. I'm sure that's what we'll do. So we will be back next week.
We'll work something out next week if we can.
Yeah, we will work something out. So we will be back next week at some point. And I don't know, it'll be great. So thanks everybody that listened. And we will be back some point next week, and we will talk to WCW. So once again, thanks for listening, and thanks everybody that was in the chat as well. All right, good night, everybody.